This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky. That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Yay. Welcome. Today's ENN.
On TV.
It's brought to you by Slomans and Casa Noble. Huh? Two sponsors. What are your thoughts?
Little Noble, little Casa Noble. Get it?
Casa.
You know what? I'm doing Dave.
Oh.
I'm focused on that.
Got it. Well, everyone, welcome to this big ENN.
Huge.
I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
Well, then you're an idiot.
I'm an idiot.
And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I had a Datsun. Tree fell on it.
I'd like to say good evening to myself. I, Peter Rosenberg, at 42 years old, of sound mind and what's the other thing?
Body.
That was not what I thought he was going to announce, Michael. I was thinking something different.
You never know what he's going to announce.
Wasn't thinking Arby's, I'll tell
he's
you that.
He's going to change a lot with his sweatshirts.
I'm into them right now. I'm into these new ones I got.
I think this is a Miss Hatton push.
No push. It was all my. She likes them, but it was all me. I'd also like to say good evening to myself again. I'm one of the biggest horsey guys in the business today. The horsey sauce. I wasn't wrong. So, guys, we spent some time talking about the Nets Celtics game last night.
Yes, oh, sure.
We should probably spend some time there now, don't you think?
Sure, it's your gig.
Well, that's never a positive response.
Let's first hear what the play-by-play sounded like on national radio, which is the ESPN call.
Is this a Mark Kestisher vehicle?
That's right.
Oh.
Here we go. Jaylen Brown to the baseline with 6 against Dragic. Pass to Smart. Smart dribbles inside the arc to Tatum. Layup's good at the horn. Boston wins it. Jason Tatum at the horn. The Celtics take game one.
I love when Mark does well.
Let's hear what it sounded like on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
8 seconds. Kick out. Left side. Smart up fakes. Finds the cutter. Tatum spins. Lays it up and in. To beat the buzzer. It's over. The Celtics have won the ball game at the buzzer.
Did somebody's grandma just make a sweet potato pie? Damn. I can't believe it.
Nice call there. And zero steppage. You waited for the spot.
Yeah, those are two very professional calls.
Now, I don't know if we can actually play this other call, but I don't. I'm a big fan of this guy. I think Don is too. Chris Carino's call was spotless.
I'd love to hear it because I'm a fan.
It's on FAN.
We can't play the highlight?
I don't think we could play the highlight.
I'd say we just do it and pay the fine.
He was great. Well, the fine could be what Kyrie's going to pay.
No, I'll pay.
You're going to pay $50,000.
Out of pocket.
First of all, it's not $50,000. I'm sure it'll be just a cease and desist. So just play. I'll take the hit.
I don't think you should.
All right, let's hear from Kyrie Irving.
What if I found that on the phone and played it through the microphone? Would
you
that
could
be
do it? You could do it.
Let's hear from Kyrie after the game.
Well, we've never seen that from you this season, where you are running down the floor flicking people off.
It's the first time you actually caught it because it's a big-time game. I respond in different ways. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to focus on that. If you want to ask me questions about the fans, go ask them. Go on the street and ask them questions. Right?
But I'm asking from your perspective, from basketball perspective, do you feel like the hostility that you get?
It's not hostility, bro.
Do you feel like the energy you get from fans in this building
embrace it.
The best from you?
Embrace it. It's the dark side. Embrace it.
I got to tell you, I know you're going to get jumped. He's just not likable, man.
And that's by design.
He's such a Nas. He really is.
And when I say that we're getting played, how does that not sound negative? But I do think he knows. He knows what the response is going to be. Didn't you see he appreciated that interaction with the reporter? Because they finally found the word, the energy. Like, I just think it's like he plays us like an instrument.
Also, I mean, he's out of his mind. It was hostility. Energy. It's hostility. Whether you feed off it in a positive way or not, they're being hostile toward you. They hate your guts. That's hostility. That's the definition of it. Did you miss the class in Duke? Hostility. That's what they were doing to you.
No, maybe. Or maybe what he's saying is that he flipped them off not from a hostile place. It's just that I think that he just knows it's going to stir them
No. He was asked about the hostility toward him. He said that's not hostility.
Right.
Then the guy Anthony says it's Nick Friedel, who covers the Nets for ESPN, but that was hostility that they were giving him. But he wants to be the smartest guy in the room, and he might be.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he
does. But I agree with Michael.
He plays all like a fiddle.
He is a Nas, and I don't mean Nas the rapper. I mean the nozzle. Let's hear from Jay Will, who said the antics actually made the game fun.
Kyrie was having a phenomenal game. And I go back to me saying he was the best offensive player in the league. I think that was on display yesterday for millions of people watching that game. I still believe he should have taken the last shot. He got around Al Horford for that three, but he decided to pass the ball to KD. But still, the antics is what made this game incredible. Kyrie going back to Boston, dealing with all the fans is what made this a real show.
And if Kyrie's not really offended, what is the issue?
I think he is motivated by it.
Right. But what I'm saying is that it made the game more interesting. From the Nets' perspective, we're talking more about Kyrie's antics than their meltdown defensively on the final two possessions and their awful offensive possession before the game ended and the fact that they're down 0-1. So, honestly, if it made the game more fun, nobody's feelings were hurt, apparently. Kyrie certainly didn't sound like he was offended.
Well, that's the thing. He's playing into it. You're right. Because in one breath, he acts like it when he's on the court like he's offended. But then afterwards, he says it's fun and he's playing into it. So maybe it is a situation of no harm, no foul, at least at this point. Here's Jay Will also saying that Kyrie is not a role model.
I don't look at Kyrie Irving as a role model for my kids. That's me as a parent, right? And so when I see all this stuff online, this guy, great role model. I'm like, well, how about the guys who are yelling the crazy stuff behind Kyrie with kids in front of him too? Like,
exactly.
So I get the middle finger that Kyrie, maybe that to some people that goes too far. But if people were engaging in that and that gets him to a place where he drops 39, then let him do his Kyrie Irving thing.
Now, I'm agreement with Jay. I want me and Jody to be the role models for the kids. But I'm sorry. I know Charles Barkley's old commercial and everything. My kid watches sports, and he imitates those people. I don't want them to be his role model, but he's watching games. If he sees Kyrie Irving flip somebody off, he is going to do that too. I'll have to stop him, but to say that they're not role models, that's just head in the sands. Kids love sports, most of them. And when they're watching, they're entranced, and those people be – whenever I pitch batting practice at Charlie in the backyard, he flips bats in the air as if he's Fernando Tatis. And I said, do you really want to be that guy? He goes, what do you mean? I said, a show-off like that? He goes, well, Fernando Tatis does it. So to say they're not role models is you're not understanding what kids feed off of.
But it's also semantics. I mean, kids feed off a lot of things, off of you and Jody, me and Nancy – but also, what they see from their superhero cartoons or what they see from the music videos when they get older. Like, there are kids that dress up like the artists that they follow in music. It's they're going to mimic the things that they see. And, the kind of people they're going to eventually become, well, that's the responsibility of the parents. But they're going to mimic what they see, and it's up for us as the parents to make sure that we can manage all that. But that's what athletes have to realize is that their behavior in a press conference, their behavior on television is seen by a lot of kids that are going to think that's okay. Yes, the parents have to stop it, but still, now the parents have to do the work because they're watching a game on Channel 7 in New York and they see him do that and they're going to think that's okay.
It is another good point, though, that while Kyrie is certainly fair in bounds to be criticized, the people who do yell the true obscenities in front of children, it's really the worst.
Right, but they're not They're not, but you see, what's
interesting some of them are role models. Some of them are doing it with their children next
to
them.
Well, they're children, but what I'm saying is if I take my son or daughter to a game and they see some yo-yo act that way, they're not going to repeat because that's not anybody to them.
No,
but the person
but
in the uniform.
But if those people happen to be parents who are with children, then what they're doing is much more influential than what Kyrie does.
Peter, I got to tell you one thing. You bring up an unbelievable point. If you're sitting with your kids or your family, and there's some big blob slob screaming F-bombs at the players, you got two choices. You sit there and ignore it, which is probably the choice to make, or you stand up and tell them to shut up and you get into a brawl.
No, but
it's
but,
awful for parents when that happens.
But,
and you've got to be the narc and go up to an usher and say, no. This has to stop.
But here's the great thing about the 21st century and technology. Go to any game. Right there on the Jumbotron, they'll say, if you see something inappropriate, text whatever, and then you text it, and then they'll come down, they'll check it out. You could probably do it without anybody knowing that you did it.
Yeah.
So embrace that. Pay attention. See that. Every game. Right, Peter? Any game you go to, right on the Jumbotron, there's like hashtag or whatever or the number to your text. You give the section, and they'll probably come down, and they'll see the behavior for themselves, and they'll throw the person out.
Yeah, I hate when people do that, though. It's the worst.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's hear from Shaq and Charles Barkley in the postgame.
Well, if the great Bill Russell went through it, I wanted to go through it also. I don't really want to hear all that. And, you know, certain cities, they don't care what you say at the press conference. You know what's going to happen in game two? They're going to be talking more smack up there in Boston. I played in Boston 2 years, but listen, it happens to the best of us. You don't think people said stuff to Charles Barkley, said stuff to Hakeem Olajuwon?
Come on, man. Please stop, man.
Yeah. Chuck got it from his home fans.
Hey, most of the fans are amazing. Yeah. Some of them said some rude stuff. Please stop it, you athletes today, whining like
little. Bill Russell went through it earlier.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, man up.
Now, what? I got a caller brought up a great point. Charles spat on people. Come on, he shouldn't weigh in on this. That's
and
worse
also,
than what Kyrie did, man.
And also,
much worse.
That also does reek a little bit of respectfully. Hey, just because I went through something or Bill Russell went through something, others should. I mean, frankly, what Bill Russell went through, no one should ever go through that. That should never ever happen.
Right.
No one should wear it. Should be forced to wear that like a badge of honor. Again, that's not what this situation is. Kyrie's not accusing the Boston crowd of doing that. But it just sounded sort of like older guys saying, you shouldn't complain about this simply because everyone else went through it. That's not really a sound argument either.
Now, I have a question for you, Peter.
Go ahead.
Shaq is on every four or five commercials that are on TV. Every one of them clearly could understand what he's saying. But when he's on TNT, it's like it's a mumble fest. I know. I mean, I've had him on center stage. He's incredible. But it seems like he's not even trying on TNT. He's not even trying to, like, throw his voice to a level that people could hear. So tell me why, Peter.
I can't. I can't tell you why.
All right.
I don't know what the difference is.
Well, I'll tell you the difference is that you got a million takes in commercials. I'm sure he mumbled through the first 30 takes.
I don't know.
Well,
and
that's
the one that Kenan Thompson, that's the way he imitates him.
Right. But obviously why that works so well is because it's very conversational, and that's probably how Shaq sounds most of the time. Now, if he's on center stage with somebody he's not close to or he's doing a commercial, yeah, he can amp up the energy to talk. But, in normal situations, when you're just being conversational, he mumbles. But it works. That's why that works. I love what TNT does. They're doing the same thing with the hockey coverage too, with Anson Carter and Bissonnette and Gretzky. Peter, I'm not sure what it is. Even the way it's shot, it's just very. It's so much different than anything I've ever seen before. What TNT does,
they do a hell of a job.
It's very relaxed.
It should be noted, by the way, according to Basketball Reference, Tatum's game-winning layup was the first game-winning buzzer beater at home in Celtics postseason history.
Holy crap.
And it's the first one he ever had?
No. The franchise.
No, but also the first he ever had. Well, I read that as well.
Oh, you mean any sort of buzzer beater?
Right. Tatum never had a buzzer beater, and that's the first buzzer beater at home?
In Celtics playoff history.
That's incredible. You know how many playoff games that they played in their history?
I mean, they've played probably more playoff games than any team in history.
That's incredible. But double check that, Andrew, because now I'm losing my confidence. But I could have sworn I saw that it was Tatum's first as well, which also surprised me.
Andrew, did you just say it was 358 playoff games they played?
Wow. Home playoff games in their history.
Home playoff games, yeah.
And not one buzzer beater?
It's incredible.
Because they used to just whip people's butts.
But did you guys – I'm sure Knicks fans got some enjoyment out of seeing Miami shut down Trae Young in game one of the Hawks-Heat series.
Yeah, that's how you're going to get your enjoyment. It was a bad season for your team.
Heat led by as many as 32 points before winning 115-91. Trae Young was 1-for-12 from the floor, tied for his worst field goal percentage in a game in his career, regular season and playoffs, 0-for-7 from 3. Miami did the job.
That was great, Michael.
Thank you.
I got to be honest. I thought that was funny. Don, I'm surprised that tickled you so much.
Well, it wasn't what he said. It was just how subtle it was. It wasn't attention getting at all. The way you say things can be funny too, Peter.
That's a very good point. Colin Kaepernick appeared on the I Am Athlete podcast. That's the Brandon Marshall vehicle. And he was asked.
Jet? Because there's
current
two
Raven.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. That's him.
That's right. Colin Kaepernick asked if he'd be willing to be a backup in the NFL.
If an opportunity presented itself today and they said, we want to bring you in as the backup, would you take that?
Yeah.
You'll take that.
I know I have to find my way back in.
Okay.
So, yeah, if I have to come in as a backup, that's fine. But that's not where I'm staying. And when I prove that I'm a starter, I want to be able to step on the field as such. I just need that opportunity to walk through the door.
Dude.
Here's Kaepernick saying he would not be a distraction to a team.
When you're talking about the people that are actually in the building, that has never come out that I've been a distraction. It's never come out that I've been an issue from the people I played with.
Cap, can I keep it real with you, Cap? This is between you and I. Don't tell nobody. $16 billion industry, Cap. What about our fan base? What do we say to our fan base? What are they going to say?
I say you have end racism in the back of your end zone. You got Black Lives Matter on your helmet. Mm. Everything I've said should be in alignment with what you're saying publicly. It's a $16 billion business. When I first took a knee, my jersey went to number one. When I did the deal with Nike, their value increased by $6 billion. $6 billion. With a B.
So this is the first time we've actually, I think, really ever heard audio of him clearly outlining what he wants to do.
Yeah. But am I wrong to just say, listen, you obviously were wronged. But you know what? You want to get back in the league? I watched. Go play for the USFL and light it up. And I'm telling you, he would. And you don't think that would move the needle of people? So there he goes. He can play. He hasn't played, Peter. So it kind of feeds into that narrative that he's done. He hasn't played in how many years? 5-6 years now? Why would I want to sign the guy?
2016 was the last year.
Go to the USFL and light it up. And then you show. And they could say, oh, it's the only USFL. But get something on film. 3 million people watched this weekend. So you don't think there'd be 6 million, maybe 10 million, if Colin Kaepernick played for the Generals or the Stallions or the Breakers or whoever? Light it up.
Oh, man.
Get something on film. Show people. Build up the narrative. The longer you go without playing, it creates an excuse for NFL teams to say, you haven't played in 6 years, man. Why would I want to sign you? But if you got that, he goes out there and throws for 5 touchdowns in the first half. Why can't he do that? I know he shouldn't have to, Peter.
Right.
But you know
what?
If you want to get back in.
I hear what you're saying. Listen, I don't think it would be a bad path. Because I don't know that I see an NFL team just doing this. But then again, maybe he would do that and they still wouldn't do it. But then then to your point, Don, that strengthens his argument even more.
Because right now the excuse is, well, you haven't played in 6 years. Well, I just went to the USFL and I lit it up. Now they could come back with the excuse, well, it's only the USFL. I understand that these aren't stars by any stretch, but it's guys trying to get into the NFL. They're essentially doing what Colin Kaepernick's trying to do.
Right.
They're trying to hook on and try to become backup quarterbacks or second string centers somewhere in the National Football League. That's what they're trying to do. That's what this league is about right now. So it stinks that he has to do that. But if you really want to get in there and you're not getting the call, force the issue. Embarrass them. And then if they still don't sign you, then it just makes them look worse.
Now Colin is, you know, he's got receipts there that, you know, when he took the knee, the jersey went to number one. Does he really truly believe that Nike's valuation went up $6 billion because they signed him? Come on.
I think it would have probably went up substantially anyway, but
I don't think it's going up $6 billion because they signed him to a non-playing contract.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm not sure. Ask him for the receipts. Real quick, Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown of the Titans, and Terry McLaurin of the Commanders are all seeking new contracts and are not expected to participate in any on-field work during their team's off-season programs. McLaurin still plans to report on time for the start of the Washington program while his contract remains unresolved. All three of those guys entering their fourth year in the league. Speaking of the Commanders, in a letter to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, they've denied any financial misconduct. Eh? I think we could believe them.
Well, then I think it's over, right? Well,
right?
That's done, right?
Yeah, the letter signed by an attorney. I mean, I think it's fine. Nothing imagine, to see here. Thanks, folks.
Imagine what you'd get away with if just denying was enough.
Don't worry, they have to deny and deny and deny. Now, if you missed the K-Rod cast.
Well, then what are you doing?
Well, first of all, what are you doing with your life? Second of all, you missed A-Rod drop a bomb on his just how strongly he feels about the potential success of the New York Mets.
Here's what I like about what the Mets are doing. They're a hybrid of analytics and old school. And what I mean by that is they have 31 people in the analytics department. The R&D department, that looks more like a hedge fund than a major league front office. So that's great. Good job there. Better job is they have what I think the best manager in the game in Buck Showalter. And a guy like Buck Showalter with a very veteran coaching staff, I think that mix is going to do very well. And I'm going to say it here. The Mets will win two championships in the next 10 years.
So he's got Buck managing till 75. Good for Buck.
Why not? If it works, I'm sure he will.
I got to tell you, he looks just so cool. Top step, arms folded.
Oh, he's such a G.
So you come around to my side of the fence on Buck. You think he's it, right? He's the man. I've been preaching this for years. So you're finally with me, Don.
I was always with you. I think,
but now you're all in.
But definitely. But I was so happy they hired him, and I was always a Buck fan. But you got to work with him on the air. You got to cover him, and now we're getting to see why you were so excited. And you can do both. That's what I think. That's what Yankee fans want to see from the Bombers is to you can do both,
guys.
Hybrid. That's great.
That will do it for ENN this Monday evening.
You almost want more.
Thank you. It's brought to you by Sloman's. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME to receive a free doorbell camera with the installation of your Sloman Shield. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME and Casa Noble. Sit back and celebrate Cinco de Mayo the Noble way with Casa Noble Tequila, the perfect tequila for all of life's meaningful moments.
When we come back, I've got numbers that will infuriate some. Please stay tuned for this, and then the big fella joins us at about 6:45. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.